The name of this episode is A Game to Change? Question mark. So let's start off by saying thank you to everybody tuning in. It's with heavy hearts for yourself and myself.
Right.
The passing of a young king, a legend. A legend in the making.
Legend.
My old nickname. Nipsey Hussle passed away last Sunday. I know we made mention of it on the podcast
right.
itself. We weren't sure. We didn't want to confirm. We didn't want to speak that into existence. We just wanted to let whatever happened happen and his will be done.
Right.
And just so happened he got taken from us.
Yeah. At the young age of 33.
The significance of Mr. Nipsey Hussle, his life growing up in South Central LA, he was affiliated with the Rolling 60s, which is a Crip gang.
Mm-hmm.
And despite all that, he was still a very driven individual.
Right.
He wasn't, you know, music driven. Music wasn't his only passion at first. So, of course, he was in the gang. He was affiliated with some other things. He went to prison. But ownership was on Nipsey's mind, mm-hmm. along with he and his brother and some of his associates.
Yeah, and also helping out the community as well. I always say one thing about him is that it was good to see the growth of a young man turn into, from a young man to a grown man making grown man moves. And from what he was and what he used to rap about, and then you kind of see the progression as the years go on, from him rapping about gangs and everything to rapping about equity, investments, investing in your own community, investing in, he even put me on cryptocurrency, not a few years back, but it's good to see the growth of somebody. And then also to have the love of his life, Laura in London right there. And for them to be that involved in the community, especially him being involved in that community or in the community, help the community, was definitely great to see.
Well, the two things, take away from it is he always was a different type of cat.
Always.
He
never followed.
Well, yeah, he never followed. So, like you said, in respects to him talking about equity, ownership, real estate, he's always been one with his music. He wants to own his masters. And for those who don't know, masters is you basically owning the rights to your own music. If you go with a record label, and I'm not going to pretend like I know all the inside
right,
scoop,
right.
but if you go to a record label, you don't own your own stuff
right.
because you have a team behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Made up of executives who are gonna be that force behind you.
Right.
So he was a revolutionary in terms of actually he and a few others being independent, meaning they're gonna push everything themselves.
Right.
Well, not only that, he was also of the foresight mind to own his own masters and also charge for them at the same time,
right.
as well as offering exclusive deals
mm-hmm.
for purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually witnessed the interview where he said that he charged $100 for one of his, mm-hmm. and he got that from a book.
Right.
I don't know the guy's name, it escapes me, but it's a guy who sold Philly cheesesteaks
for
$100.
Right.
I actually got the book. I believe it's called Cautious.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming to my mailbox soon. but he actually got the idea from that, and it just took off. He had, you know, a lot of people supporting him
right.
in the rap game already. Most notably would be Jay-Z,
Hov,
right. who bought 100 copies at $100.
Right.
And he just admired that idea. He saw a lot of himself in Nipsey. So
right.
that's why he made that investment.
Which speaks to the last name of
Hussle.
There you go.
So he did that with his music. He always, you know, preached about ownership, investing in your community. He's from the hood in LA, and we all know how
dangerous,
how dangerous it is, how poverty stricken it was, you know, what position that the police and the government had in the downfall of
right.
it. And he wanted to see his community shine. He also purchased, I guess you what you want to call a slab. I don't know what you storefront slab.
Storefront, yeah.
He purchased and owned that whole storefront, which is unheard of, and it's still in the hood, but it's on the busiest street.
Right.
And that's where his store Marathon was it.
Right, which is the store we had went to, if I'm not mistaken, in 2016. The store we had went to in 2016, and man, it was absolutely what you had saw on YouTube. And to actually go into that store, to speak to the people that work in that store, everything was professional. He did everything the right way. And I remember talking to one of our best friends out there, and we were just having a talk in the car. And I was just, we were just talking, summer 2016 as well. And we were just talking in the car, and I said, you know, y'all, LA got a lot of artists, even though at that, it was back on the come up. But I said, man, it's just something about Nipsey Hussle. And he being an LA guy himself, he just told me, man, he speak to your soul. And I'll never forget that. And to this day, it's the truth. And everybody that I met from college, from LA, when I told them that Nipsey Hussle was one of my favorite artists, in not only in LA, but in general, I just remember in the summer of 2010 when Keys to the City came out, and I was just like, man, oh, he was speaking some real stuff on this. So since 2010, I've been invested in him.
And that's when you put me on too.
Yeah, and that's when I put my gear on.
But yeah, the significance of just him being who he was. If you don't know who he is, you can look at his impact. If y'all remember a few weeks ago, we talked about impact.
Right.
His impact would be that you never saw, like, everybody associates Tupac with California, but Tupac wasn't originally from California. He was an implant.
Right.
Nipsey born, raised, and didn't leave the hood even when he found success.
Right.
He actually was trying to bring back to the hood and grow it and get it to where it's self-sufficient. The people that worked in his stores, 9 times out of 10, were fellas and couldn't get jobs anywhere else. That's why that was so important for him to own their storefront. And the reason why we're talking about Nipsey is not only because of what he did for us and his music and how we just felt like we knew him. It's rare to see somebody have an effect on this mass of people.
Yeah, the whole hip hop and African American people was just hurt. And I was telling you on Friday when I went to go get my hair cut, how my barber is, of course, from Louisiana, Monroe. And he was cutting my hair. And we the whole time he was cutting my hair, that's all we were talking about was Nipsey.
Mm-hmm.
And what he meant to both of us. And even before my basketball game on Thursday, my teammates last friend, he said he was singing the song Check Me Out with Don Kennedy. And he kept saying Check Me Out. And I had told him, I was like, what you know about that, bro?
Yeah.
He was like, man, that's my homie, man. So the effect that he had in the community, not only in LA, but pretty much around the whole country, is just phenomenal. I loved everything that he stood for, and I also loved his positivity. Everything he brought, it seemed like he was going above and beyond 150%. So to see an individual like that just gone, and I still can't believe it to this day, and it's been a week. And I kid you not, it was just so hard trying to listen to his music on Monday or try to listen to any kind of music because I was just so distraught and I really couldn't believe.
See, I differ from you. I had to listen to it. Yeah, like this whole week, I didn't want to listen to anything else.
Right.
And it was just, you know, him. I guess the reason why it affected so bad is because of the crazy way it happened. He got shot by a supposed old friend.
Right.
He didn't die from drugs or, you know, being in beef with anybody. He got along with everybody. Yes, he's a Crip, and if you know anything about gang culture, Crips and Bloods historically don't get along. Mm-hmm. Well, one of his great friends was a Blood, YG. Mm-hmm. And YG and the gang couldn't even put words to what happened. Both of those are Blood affiliates. And it's just because this man was so real, so dope, so pure. That's the word I heard.
Pure.
He was so pure and full of life and energy.
Authentic, genuine.
And it inspires me because, you know, for the longest until we were introduced to our brothers from California, still in California. Congratulations on that marriage, by the way, brother.
Right. Shout out to
your beautiful queen.
Shout out to y'all.
And then our other brothers in Vegas, you know, when I first met one of them, all he would talk about was owning his own stuff. And until I had met him, you know, I was just like, I'm going to work for some big marketing firm and make money.
Right.
It wasn't until we met them. And I think that has a big impact on that culture out there and just being driven to do your own thing.
Right.
But I don't know. We wanted to speak on that for a couple of minutes and, you know, speak on some of these quotes, these lyrics that he had on from a few of our favorite songs. Maybe one day we'll do a whole episode dedicated to him. We'll blow up a little bit bigger because that's what we'll do for the anniversary next year, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, man, he spoke realness. A lot of dope stuff came from him.
He spoke what he preached.
So this one of my favorite ones, which you love to hear me spit it, because when we were on our way to LA.
Oh my, I can picture it. I can picture it. Here's a story. I gotta tell it. The first time me and Gary ever went out to California, which was, that was 2015. First time we're going out there, we driving to Dallas, Gear playing
Mailbox Money.
Mailbox Money.
Status symbol.
And Gear was driving. And I was just sitting in the passenger side.
Because you hadn't heard the whole thing.
See, yeah, because I haven't heard the whole thing. Yeah. I just heard a few songs. Yeah. The one with Trader Truth is one of my favorites. Yeah. But Status Symbol came on and Gear started rapping. And I was just shocked and appalled at the same time. Like, yo, Gary wasn't got into you. So he kept going. It was so good. And I felt every word that he was saying, that Gary was saying, and that Nipsey was saying. Man, I told my brother, I said, look, replay that and do that again. And that's exactly what he did. So salute to Mailbox Money. Definitely salute to Mailbox Money.
That's one of my favorite projects by him. But that song right there, it spoke to me. And this is the beginning of the song when he start that I'm going to, you know, quote a few bars from.
Okay.
It start off, negotiating equity, positions you'll never be, rap sheet full of felonies, status symbol on my set of keys. They say I was selling dreams.
Mm.
Back to the brick wall, I'm in hell and trees. Visualizing hella cheese, you can smell the weed. Niggas doubt. Sorry, they doubting. Pessimism ain't affecting me. Fuel to the fire. Took it higher than they ever see. Like that. Like if you ever hear that song, the way that beat dropped, the way he come in on it, he spoke differently than what a hood person would speak.
Or what you think a hood
person? What you think, because If you ever watch any of his interviews, he's always preaching about owning, whether it's real estate, whether it's your masters, whether it's, you can own your own car. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to own, because if you paying debt to somebody, you never get ahead.
Yeah.
And he not only spoke it and preached it, he embodied it too.
All right.
Even to the day he passed.
Yep. And I'm going to go back to Keys to the Sea, the first ever song I ever heard from Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
And this verse says, got to keep her close to me. Put that on the man that's on the cross on my rosary. Wasn't always banging, but I speak about it openly. No shame in my game. I did my thing on the coldest streets. Who's the hottest on the West? All you know it's me. So tell whoever got it locked that Nipsey Hussle stole the key. Man, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. That was definitely dope.
Yeah, that was my first introduction to Nipsey Hussle. And like I said, to see somebody like that, to go further and along with everything that he was saying, I just, oh man, I love talking about it. I love talking about music. So
yeah, I mean, it's sad that he's gone, but at the same time, the quote, the hashtag that's been going around, I should say, Victory Lap, that was his latest project.
Right.
But the one that stick out to me that I still have in my head, despite some of the things that go on in my life and even in yours, the marathon continues.
Marathon continues,
and,
man.
And I'll say this before we hit our first break. He had foresight. He foreshadowed it to his future. And I believe that came from the good Lord above.
Yeah.
I don't know if you paid attention to it, but I heard it. I just didn't pay attention to it till this week, you know, just listening to everything in my headphones. Mm-hmm. He was always speaking on Victory Lap. He always made mention of Victory Lap. In some of his songs, he like, yeah, the Victory Lap coming. Or he always made mention somewhere. So it's like, when you listen now going forward and anybody else who want to pay attention to his project, he stayed mentioning Victory Lap. And this was years before
Before
his project was even done.
And
so... I'll let you guys this.
Okay.
I think they just tell into the whole thing. I even, you know, when you get weak and you're not sure whether your next is coming, you got to keep persevering. Remember that vision and just stay on track. Yep. Like, just know that what you have planned, as long as it lines up with him, it's not too far.
Right.
It's not too far. It's not too far at all. So I think that's the thing that I'll take away. He spoke this into existence, but he put the hard work in for it too. Mm-hmm. But he always made mention of Victory Lap. That's all the way back to 2011. That's crazy.
Right.
I really listened to something. I was like, yo, he said Victory Lap. Victory Lap just came out last year. By the way, Grammy nominated. He should have won.
Right.
Had the best album last year.
He did.
I don't care who else was out there. He had the best album.
It was him first, J-Rock Redemption. Close second to me.
I don't know. KOD come in close second to me.
All right, it's just opinion.
But top three.
Boom. In my opinion, mine's is Nipsey Hussle, then Jay-Z, and then J. Cole. So, J-Rock. J-Rock. But he going back to what we were saying, also what he did for the community and did for the hip-hop community as well, and how he got along with everybody, he was, you could possibly say, he was our Tupac.
No, most definitely.
He was our Tupac in the way he conducted himself, in the way he foreshadowed a lot of things. He was our Tupac. For us, We were around that time when Tupac and Biggie got shot.
But we were young, though.
But we were young. We were young. You had a young generation that was born either right there when they passed away or a little bit after. But as what I can say right now, he was our Tupac Shakur, and may his soul rest in peace. May the good Lord watch over Laura London and the kids. And his whole family, he was definitely a blessing and definitely an angel. And the marathon continues. Hustle and motivate, baby.
Hustle and motivate. Right. Yeah, man. One day we're going to figure out how to play music, I'm telling you. And not get, you know, we're going to do that one day. But, yeah, we just wanted to speak on that, how big of an influence he was to us, to them, to you. We hope if you haven't listened to him, take out the fact that you may not like rap and listen to his words. Matter of fact, if you don't like rap, don't even listen to his words. Go look up his lyrics.
Go look up his lyrics. And also, go look at his interviews.
Yeah, his interviews.
Look at his interviews.
There you go. That's even better. You don't even have to listen to him.
Very well spoken. And guess what? Didn't go to college. Didn't go to UCLA. Didn't go to USC. Didn't go to Harvard, Yale, anything like that.
He's very well read.
Very.
Education doesn't have to do with you going to college. It's about what you want to learn.
Right.
And he did
all this. The brightest mind and the smartest mind came off the streets.
Yep. Yep. Well, man, we're going to take one break real quick, and we'll be right back.
All right.
So I think we found a title of this episode, like 3 weeks ago. So
what's it gonna be?
So this is after a hard conversation by this man sitting across from me right now. And the name of this episode is "The Game That Changed." Question mark, though. I'm putting a question mark behind it.
Definitely putting a question mark.
Because I'm not sure if it has. I don't know if it has. I think you see new elements, new tricks. But my man here seems to think that it's so different from what it used to be. I think you see different elements, different players, different figures. I don't know if the game itself has changed, because the game itself has always been complicated.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing with the game, man. You don't know what it brings, but at the same time, you're so oblivious that you want to be blind to what the game is, that you really just want to forget about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if you're oblivious and blind, that don't mean the game changed. You're just oblivious and blind, right?
Well, is it because you want to be oblivious and blind, or is it that you are oblivious?
Okay,
and blind?
But what them two statements you just said right there is what I'm saying. But that's what I'm answering your question. That doesn't mean the game changed, though.
It don't mean that it changed.
But that's what I'm saying. That means the players, whoever they may be, have changed. They
are different, right?
That the game hasn't changed. Like, listen, the game of life is this: you get in, you get out, you get what you put in, right?
That's the truth,
right? So if that's the whole scenario right there, then the players didn't change. I don't know if the game changed. I don't think the game ever changed. I think it gets different elements. I just don't think the game changed.
Ladies and gentlemen, me, my brother, and our good friend, we definitely had a debate about
Josephy.
Josephy.
That's one of his nicknames.
Josephy.
Jefe.
We definitely had a nice little debate about this. I had my point of views. Gear had his point of views.
Jefe.
Had his point of views too. And it was fun to talk about it and debate about it while we was at the restaurant, and everybody wanted to put their little two cents in that we didn't ask, but that's another subject for another.
You're so angry. You're so angry. All right. Well, let's talk about one that you brought to my attention, because I didn't know that it was this big of a deal. It's the former New York Knicks, current Dallas Mavericks star, Kristaps Porzingis. So Porzingis is allegedly being accused of rape.
Right.
With not good support following the young lady.
Right.
And I mean, you can get in more detail. I guess I'm trying to sum up the words as why this sounds like such a fishy situation on both ends.
It does. And you know, we're not making fun of anything. We're not making fun of him. We definitely are not.
No. We're gonna make fun of him. I feel like he deserves. Yeah. We say this all the time. This is partially his fault.
Right.
As to why this situation is happening,
because all of this could have been avoided. And I was to get down to the meat of it. The young lady is accusing Porzingis of raping her, and she has allegedly the details where she contacted the New York Knicks mediator and was letting them know what happened, and pretty much, she told him that, okay, if you pay me $68,000, then this will pay for my brother's tuition for college.
By the way, if that's true, admirable quality.
Admirable.
I'm talking about her.
Yeah. At the same time.
To say you love your brother that much.
To say you love your brother that much, $68,000 for tuition. But man, I want to say why not more, but it shouldn't even have been more, because if he did do what you claim allegedly that he did, just go to the police.
I just told you we gotta do something. I'm not gonna stop you. Remember where you at? We gotta give a good backstory now.
Okay.
The backstory behind it, after reading a few articles, it said that for about 14 months she was in pursuit of Porzingis. So she finally got a chance to meet up with him, and she went to his apartment after said meetup to get an autograph. the reason why I'm like halfway going like this is because I'm doing
air quotes right now.
I know you can't see me. They can't see. It's great content, by the way.
Air quotes.
So she entered his place.
In the wee hours of the morning.
In the wee hours of the morning, she entered his place to get an autograph. It said, this is the whole story that I'm giving y'all that I've read on various media outlets. It said that she entered his apartment to get an autograph. Porzingis was drunk. It's also said that Porzingis, depending on which outlet that you read, said that he then braced her hands to the floor, hit her several times, spit on her, or spat, if we're talking this past tense, spat on her, and then proceeded to rape her. Another source that I read said that she was gently put on the bed and then still hit several times and spat on. Anyway, she said she was raped. Funny thing about it is that she waited for a very long time to actually pursue.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to that. But quick question. Did, you know, me and you, of course, we deal with different women. But if a young lady says, hey, can I come over your apartment at 2 in the morning? Hypothetically speaking.
It's 2 in the morning.
Hey. 2 in the morning. But what would you think at that moment as a male? What do you think she
would I'm in his position?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not me. I'm in his position.
Yeah, you in his position. What do you think she wants?
After, if I'm smart and I'm worrying about myself because I am a brand, I'm a superstar. If I'm worried about myself and my brand and protecting my brand, anything that happens after 10 or 11 o'clock cannot happen. I'm not your average Joe. I'm Kristaps Porzingis. I'm a star.
I have a lot to lose.
I have too much to lose.
Right.
It was a verse by J. Cole back in the day. I only mess with women that have stuff to lose. I cannot mess with you. This is how a lot of professional players get caught up when you mess with chicks who, I'm sorry, professional athletes. We are not going to sexualize people.
Right.
We this is not sexism here, people.
Not at all.
Professional athletes, men and women, get in trouble by thinking that they are typical citizens. And that they can partake in activities that normal people do. And by normal, I mean people who don't have status, net worth, or popularity or celebrity to follow them. Right. So if I'm Porzingis at 2 in the morning, I'm not answering the door.
Right.
To be honest, at 2 in the morning, I need to be asleep, so I'm not answering a text message either. And just to throw myself in that situation, I'm nowhere near the celebrity of a Porzingis, and he's not the biggest star by any stretch of the imagination in the NBA. I'm nowhere near that type of status, and I wouldn't do that. I don't know you, and I'm going to open the door for you. And for all we know, it could be exactly this young lady saying, or it can go the exact same way Porzingis is saying. But all I know is you got three things here. You got her side, his side, and the truth.
And the truth.
And the truth will never be found out. Somebody's gonna win and lose, and again,
the lie travel way faster than the truth.
It does. So, I wouldn't have if I was him. I would have never answered my door. You're gonna have to come see me during the hours of what's my office hours? 8 to 5.
8 to 5.
And if I'm rehabbing like he's supposed to be, then 8 to 5, I'm in the rehab facility, so you can't see me then. If it's meant to be, you're gonna catch me out and about.
We can meet up at lunch. We meet up at lunch or somewhere.
I don't think he knew her. I don't think he knew her like that.
I think he did. Hmm? I think he did know her like that.
So what would you do? Let's not get too off track. What would you do if you were him?
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't go for it. It just seemed you have to kind of feel out the situation. But at the same time, you know, if she's an attractive young woman and she calling you, or if she would call me at 1 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I can't do it.
They say nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
No, and that's true. and again,
I think the time need to be moved up to like 1, but still.
Right. And Porzingis, man, look.
You in New York for crying
out loud. You in New York, man. I'm pretty sure they have a lot of exotic clubs out there where you can meet different women. And, you know, if you want to tip, you know, or do whatever you want to do. So, but for all of this to be coming out right now, it puts you in a bad position. And also, this may be the reason why you wanted to leave New York. Only because the team and the record was horrible, and
James, you hadn't played in a year,
right? And James Dolan, of course. Oh my goodness, we'll get on that.
That's the Knicks owner.
Yeah, that's the Knicks owner. But I can see why you wanted to leave now. Why you was berating the offices and saying that you didn't like what was going on, and you want to be traded. Now I can kind of see why. It puts in speculation now. It's getting clear. I can see clearly now.
Wow.
The rain has gone.
So,
in your
estimation of this $68,000 that she's asking for, that she said that he agreed to in a negotiation, I guess he signed a contract to it, and even though that he's saying that that's not my signature, my name's been spelled wrong.
On top of that. His name was misspelled. Yeah. One letter was wrong.
Yeah.
So that could throw everything. Yeah. Even if it is true, that one thing could throw all of this out. And the police might question her and say, "Well, why didn't you just come to us first?
Actually, the police of New York, or whichever station she went to, they actually are favoring her side." And all officials, the trading parties as far as Dallas and New York were letting on about this.
Correct,
the NBA, the NBA Players Association was also notified of this. And I want to make sure I'm getting her name right. I believe it's Michelle Robertson, if I'm not mistaken.
Michelle Robertson?
Robertson, there you go. She actually made a statement saying that they side with, after all the allegations and the evidence, they side with Mr. Porzingis. I want to ask you, the reason why this tells to the title of this podcast is the games change. So why do you think this is a telltale sign of the game change?
Because you have to be smarter, my brother. You have to think. In these situations, you have to think. Everything that happens, always be a thinking man. You know the term every rapper would want to use, and it's been used since beginning of time. I play chess, you play checkers, you know, which means I'm smart, I move.
Yeah,
checkers
is a little bit of a little bit more basic game. Chess is you want to be 2-3 moves ahead of your opponent depending on which way they move.
And I like thinking men. I like thinking people. In this particular situation, you have to think, Porzingis. One, why even bring her up? That's one. Two, you were drunk. That's going to make things even worse. Even if you wasn't drinking.
Not going to cut you off. I'm just going to say this. If you drunk off of one shot, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah,
you 7'3", 200-something pound man.
Yeah, man. What were you? What could you be thinking, man? Like, it don't make no sense. And the whole situation, back to what I was saying, you just have to think. Just think. Okay, I want to get out of here, and I want the maximum money, as much money as I can. I don't want to be a liability to any organization that I want to get traded to or possibly get traded to, which is Dallas. And even if you did give her the money, what makes you think that she wouldn't, even if she never put it out, what makes you think she wouldn't even go out 5 years later and say that this happened?
Okay, all right. I hear what you're saying.
Be a thinking man.
Now, remember what you just said right there. Be a thinking man, right? Because I need you to answer this question right here, because you're going to prove my point before the end of this episode. Does that mean the game has changed or the players have changed? And hold on.
Okay.
The reason why I'm asking this question is because I don't think the game has changed, because this is something that's gone on and happened before. And this ain't the first or
the last time. Right.
So the reason why you saying you like thinking men, well, you know, the stereotype, the stigma, it may have some truth to it too. men a little bit dumber than women.
Right.
So if that's the case, then this means that the players are dumb. And by players, we're not just talking about basketball players. We're talking about men in general. Men in general don't use their head. Like you say, you like thinking, man. Right. Men in general don't use their head. So the reason why I say the game hadn't changed is because this idiotic move he did doesn't go unnoticed. It's not the dumbest thing that we've seen.
No, it's not the dumb. Of course, it's not the dumbest.
But in terms of him looking like, I think he's going to wind up paying. In order to put this to bed, he's going to wind up paying.
Yeah, we got to come out of pocket. And yes, this, a lot of money.
This looks like extortion, but this is a simple case of dumb man versus smart woman. And guess who won? Not the woman or the man, the game.
Hey, the game.
The game. The game. The game has never changed.
Right. And
the
game
has never changed.
And we over here just, I'm looking at Kristoff and when he came in, how he enjoyed New York, and he was just, he didn't know that much about the city. He may have read about it.
He knew about World Star.
He knew about World Star, though. So he had to know. If you know about World Star, then you pretty much know what's going on out in these streets, man. But
we're gonna checkmate this one and say Kristoff is just, he wasn't a very smart man.
In the words of LeBron James, be better tomorrow.
Be better. Okay. So our next one is Coach Cal getting a lifetime contract with Kentucky. The reason why this one kind of sits the wrong way with me is because UCLA, a prestigious basketball school, you might as well say John Wooden University.
John Wooden University, right.
He had the chance to go coach it. Not mad at him for accepting this lifetime contract from Kentucky.
Can't get mad.
But you have the chance to go to quite possibly the most prestigious school in college basketball history. Add to that legacy and build your own, being a mecca of basketball, a modern day mecca, I'll say that.
Right.
LA, which is it's the West Coast, LA. Like, you have a chance to bring any and every player off the basic instincts that they can live the Hollywood life.
Right.
And you chose Kentucky.
In my opinion, I would have dipped out. I'm not going to front. I would have dipped out. Cause I love, you know how I love LA. LA's the best. But with what you were saying with the lifetime contract, I'm good for it. Now again, I say I would have bounced, but I'm good for the lifetime contract because Kentucky knows we need.
No, Kentucky. He made Kentucky.
Yeah, he made Kentucky relevant again. Kentucky basketball needs John Calipari more than John Calipari needs Kentucky basketball.
Oh no, most definitely.
He can go to any school right now. He can go back to UMass start coaching, and there'll be a he'll get probably 5-star recruits, 4-star recruits, and make UMass relevant again. He can go back to, not saying anything bad about Penny Hardaway, but he could go.
He can go back to Memphis. He definitely back put them Memphis. On the map.
He can go he back can to Memphis. Put them back on the map.
But I guess at first when I heard the news, I was like, he of course is going to choose UCLA. But Kentucky made him that lifetime contract, and after he retires, he's an ambassador too.
Right.
So not only have you cemented your legacy, but you're still going to have influence on the program itself.
Right.
I guess. I need to ask you, because you're more of the basketball fan. Before Kentucky became a powerhouse, it did with under Calipari. Mm-hmm. Who ran the SEC? Because I can't remember.
I guess
that's why
Bruce Pearl.
Maybe Bruce Pearl at Tennessee.
In the early 2000s.
That's the only thing I can remember.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl, okay. They definitely had a good squad.
Florida. That's who else it was.
Florida definitely ran.
Shout out to my business coach, financial coach, my friend.
And Billy Donovan had that program.
But those were the only two, though. It was a toss-up on who would win the SEC.
Yeah,
outside of them, you know, in the early 2000s.
Outside of Florida, outside of Tennessee with Bruce Pearl.
I mean, those are the behemoths that ran
those were the giants that ran it, ran the SEC. I really can't. LSU had a couple of good years.
Well, I'm speaking like consistency. Yes,
consistency.
Every now and then you'll see somebody kind of have their program be built up and then they come in and they can wreck shop for that year.
Right.
But consistent wise, which Tennessee is getting back to,
right.
Auburn definitely making their case. They came up a little short, but they're definitely making their case. But Bruce Pearl is their coach though too.
Right.
Kentucky, as soon as Calipari came on the scene, and this is when everybody frowned upon it, and now everybody's selling this formula, is one and done after the NBA made the rule of you have to attend college at least for a year or be one year removed from high school basketball. So I understand, and I guess that's why I got mad and I sided with him for taking his contract, because you cemented your own legacy. Now you're up there with the Woodens. I don't know if you're on a Mount Rushmore, but you're pretty close right now.
Very close. Even though you only won one championship. But his record at Kentucky is out of this world.
Well, no, I guess that's why, like, y'all probably gonna hear me say it a lot until I find another word for it, but impact. Mm-hmm. Like, impact, what he did in the modern day era of somebody can either go overseas, go to a big program, and maybe not Kansas play. Or I use it to my advantage and say, well, you want to talk about the Fab Five with Michigan from back in the 90s? No. I give you a Fab Five every year.
Right.
And to your point, he may have only won one, but you're talking about a problem. And nobody wanted to go to Kentucky. Do you know what's in Kentucky? I don't know what's in Kentucky.
You remember the group, the rap group? I can't think of it right now, but All My Life, Ben Poe. It really
Cali.
They wonder why we act this way.
Nappy Boys. Nappy Roots.
Hey, for the older people, whoever listened to Nappy Roots when growing up, they had to come out like maybe 2005-ish, early 2000s.
Had like three songs.
Yeah. If you ever looked at their videos, they were from Kentucky. If you ever looked at their video, it made you not want to go to Kentucky at all.
But yeah, I just smart move by him. Even smarter move by Kentucky. Shout out to UCLA for trying to get involved, and they still trying to find a coach. You're not getting that man right there.
And that contract, it was 6 years, $46 million.
No, it was a good contract, but
yeah, that's a good contract.
You know he's still the highest paid coach right now.
Who is
Calipari?
Calipari is still the highest paid. Hey, Calipari.
And this is I think every summer he gets an extra $2 million or something like that.
Yeah,
he
getting them checks.
He
getting the money, man. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Yeah. Now that's hustle and motivate right
hustle
there.
Hustle and motivate, man. Keep getting the money, man. I can't get mad.
Now if you want to say the game changed, he's a game changer.
He is a game changer.
He's a game changer. He definitely, when you can make the likes of Krzyzewski want to switch his strategy up to be relevant just as you, right. You know you changed the game. Because for a while, Kentucky was getting every five-star recruit and then some. And it was, okay, who's going to be in the championship with Kentucky?
Right.
Or who's going to make Final Four is bigger than just the championship. So who's going to make it to the Final Four with Kentucky? Right. I mean, even this year they had a chance to do it.
They had a real good chance.
Even this year they had a chance to do it. So look for them. Now that he's there, look for Kentucky to throw every resource behind them.
Right.
Yeah. Every resource.
And the way the game is evolving now, man, kids want to – now, what we can say is when Calipari made it, every kid wanted to go. A lot of kids wanted to go to Kentucky, and they did. And they came up with the robotic answers. He gets me to the NBA, which is every kid's dream at that point. Make it to the NBA, we good. And now, kids feel that a five-star recruit, they feel that they can go to shout out to Anthony Edwards. He could have went to Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, but where he wound up going to? He wound up going to Georgia. And I saw on an interview, he had said, I want to be a follower. I got to congratulate kids that do that and don't want to play with each other. And don't get me started, because I will get started on this right now.
Man, shut that up.
I will get started. Hey. I like kids that don't want. I don't. I like.
That's
I
not
like
being a follower. That, that's
I,
not being a follower.
I like people that don't want to be that. Don't like to follow the trend.
Because you choose to go to Kentucky doesn't mean you're a follower. That means you see what other people have done before you, and that's your. If your dream is to get to the NBA, your best shot is to go to Kentucky.
But if you good, you won't get to the NBA regardless.
Hey, what if your team don't look good and then you? Well, I'm saying, what if you don't rise to the occasion? Your best bet. I'm just saying, your best bet if Kentucky wants you is to go to Kentucky. If you're looking for a surefire shot, not I'm with you with if you're good, they'll find you. But if I'm good and I'm in Kentucky, that means something too.
But guess what? Jared Culver played for Texas Tech, is going to play in the national championship on Monday. Went to Texas Tech. Nas Reed from New Jersey, 5-star recruit. Guess where he went to?
Recruited LSU. Illegally.
Huh? LSU. Okay. We're not going to act like...
You did that.
We're not going to act like that. Everybody else, like all these boosters ain't doing this.
Hey.
We're not going to act
caught.
Like that.
You got caught. That's all I'm saying. Then you did it on the phone. Poor Zingas.
We'll
gain the change.
We'll
be right back. This is the last break right here.
What's up, world? Yeah, I took it.
He really took it from me.
Broken news.
You suck. He really took it from me. You suck.
Oh, don't do that. I had to do it. Surprise.
Yeah.
Broken news.
We got broken news in for you guys live on the Bottom Line Sports Talk podcast.
The Brooklyn Nets have clinched their first playoff appearance since the 2014-2015 season.
Shout out D'Lo.
Shout out to D'Angelo Russell. Shout out to the new environment that he's in, being a leader.
Shout out to the Lakers for being dummies.
Shout out.
Because we Laker fans, so we got to bask in the glory, huh?
But yeah, definitely, yeah, we do. But definitely shout out D'Angelo Russell. And by the way, dude has, he does have good taste in clothing. I'm trying to get my fashion game up. So, yeah, he gear know how far along I came.
You know how far along you
came. I came a long way.
All right, let's get into this. This last one. This is a scenario that we heard. It was on April Fool's joke, but I definitely talked to my brother about it, and I thought it was funny. And I say, well, what if it was true? Mm-hmm. So the scenario, I'm gonna paint the picture. Canvas on the board. Put the brush to the canvas.
Okay.
So the scenario is Zion Williams, arguably the biggest star here recently.
Yes, sir.
LeBron James is like, I guess you can say, he is going to go to the league and most notably will probably be the first pick, you know, no matter who. 9 times out of 10, he's going to be the first pick, depending on who gets it.
Right.
A lot of people believe it'll be the New York Knicks. Mm-hmm. So the April Fool's joke on Monday was Zion Williams has said he's going to come back another year to play at Duke, even though he's fulfilled his one and done,
right.
Which everybody knows he's going to go to the league. Well, I approached my brother and I said, well, what if that was real news? What if that was true? And this ties into the title, The Game to Change, ?
And also, don't forget, you mentioned to me that he didn't want to go play. If he didn't want to go play
in New York. Yeah. That's part of the scenario.
Yeah, that he didn't want to go play in New York.
The reason why he didn't want to go to the league. Right. So I asked you, what are your thoughts on if that was true? It's just a scenario, but what if it was true? Because I'm not sure if you're in favor of, I guess you like to see people make moves and then make their own choices.
Right. My whole thing is if the news was true, dude, you don't control anything. The NBA will be good before you. The NBA was good before you, and the NBA will be good without you. Whether you stay all 4 years at Duke or whether you stay 2 years at Duke, And you can't control where you want to go just because you say you don't want to go play for New York, then okay, it don't mean it's still, they still draft you up. You don't have any rights to say where you want to go. You, if you want to, you can go play in Europe for another year. And guess what? New York could still be, hypothetically speaking, maybe, yeah, would still be, still be at the bottom of the league as the worst record in the league. And guess what? That's another year. That's another year gone. That's another time you miss money because you don't like, you didn't, you don't like the scenery in New York. Well, all the great ones, which I always tell everybody, all the great ones, wherever you go, you try to be the best that you can be. You try to make the change and put that organization up or put that team up to stratosphere levels like Michael Jordan did. All the great ones, Tom Brady in New England, Dallas Cowboys, all of those teams.
Well, before you go on with that school of thought, before I say what I think, you say do what all the greats do, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me what happened with Kobe Bryant then.
When he got drafted to Charlotte and then got traded to L.A.?
You know that wasn't just because L.A. wanted to trade. Like, he was like, I'm not going to play for Charlotte either.
Okay.
But and we know the reason why, because he grew up overseas and the Lakers was a team that he fantasized playing for. But that's the only team that he actually saw, too.
Right. Well, everybody can't play.
I understand that. But I guess – to your point, you're saying that you don't necessarily like players that haven't made a name or established themselves making calls or moves or demands of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's one of the greats that ever played.
Yeah.
And he made that move too.
And also Steve Francis, mm-hmm. when he came out of Maryland, he didn't want to play for the Vancouver Grizzlies. And he said he was going to sit out if he didn't play. And let's not forget what we talked about with Phillip Rivers and
Eli Manning.
And Eli Manning.
Which, he still looks smart for going to New York.
I can't front. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it was crazy, but he does look smarter his dad looks smarter for making that happen for him. But I guess to your point, I don't have a problem with somebody saying that they don't want to go to a less than subpar team. Mm-hmm. Not this year because they've done things and they have a great coach, but I understand why if y'all want to crown me the next one, mm-hmm. if I'm going to be a generational player, mm-hmm. I don't want to have to go through what I saw LeBron go through, which is nobody got me help. Yes, we still made it, but I had to leave for y'all to get better.
Right.
I don't want to have to go through 2, 3 years or 4, depending on what they sign me to. And we still may not be enough because I'm only one person. Maybe they won't give me any help. Now I'm asking for a trade. Now they're going to make me a free agent. I might have lost the best years of my life because you just never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So if it was true that he didn't want to do it, I can't really blame him considering – if New York doesn't get anybody in the offseason, and let's just say they were to get him, are they that much better with him? Because he doesn't have a jump shot. He's a wrecking ball inside, but he's a wrecking ball right now inside because he's playing against kids.
Instead of grown men.
One person that stick out to me is the Denver center. I don't know his name.
Jokic.
There you go. I can't pronounce it. I didn't want to pronounce it. Jokic sticks out to me. That's a man, too.
That's a man.
So I don't know if you're going to out-athleticize, out-muscle him.
Or Marcus Hall.
What I'm saying. Now you in the professional. So who's to say he has the same thing that he had on a college game that he went on a professional just by himself. Right. Maybe he isn't, you know, the man to lead a new team mm-hmm. into the future. Maybe he does need help. And New York is a team that hadn't had the best history of getting people help. So if it was true, I can't blame him. I get what you're saying. I understand it, but I'm in favor. And this goes back to what we were talking about, Nipsey. I'm in favor of people kind of somewhat choose their own destiny. Like you said, you had made a name for yourself, so you can't call all the shots.
Right.
But if it's, we'll throw football and basketball in there. If you got the choice to go play for a Golden State or a Houston Rockets versus Orlando Magic
or Memphis Grizzlies,
who you gonna go to if you had a choice?
Yeah, of course.
And that's just, you know, do I want to go play for the Tennessee Titans or do I want to go play for the Dallas Cowboys? Last year Dallas was good. They've been on the cusp. They are in a their division isn't the same every year. You can go 7-8 games and still win your division.
Right.
Tennessee is in a better division with Andrew Luck.
Right.
Houston Texans, who seem to be, you know, catching stride.
Right.
And Jacksonville is a monster in their own right when they have the appropriate weapons, too. Mm-hmm. Tennessee just looks to be behind. So would I want to go play for Tennessee? I want to go play for New England or L.A. Rams.
Want to play with the winners.
Yeah, I want to go play for a winner. So I can't fault him if that was true, but I guess I just had to ask that question to you because I know how you feel.
Oh,
go
right.
Prove yourself first before you make your means.
That's all I want for all of the players, the ones getting drafted or coming in. You can't have it your way. Of course, when you're a kid and you're in high school, you're gonna have everybody coming up to you.
I feel like when you go college in pros, like you made the decision to go to what college you want to go to.
Exactly. And in that instance, you have a lot of colleges interested in you, but you only can choose one. So at that amount, you're making your own choice. Well, now, since you hired an agent and you do want to be a professional, this is what comes with the game. If you ask me, just like you just said, if I gave you, do you want to play for the L.A. Clippers or the L.A. Lakers or Sacramento, those West Coast teams? I'm going to say yes, just because I live in California and boom, just like the recipe with Dre and Kendrick Lamar, the recipe. But I just love that scenery. But again, you can't have it your way all the time. And of course, be competitive. I like people being competitive.
But I just think that just because they want to go play not for a contender but for a better franchise doesn't mean that they don't want to be competitive. I think that it's gonna come a time where a player is gonna make that demand and a player will reap what they sow in terms of they want to go and play for somebody and somebody else draft them. You want me to sit out of here? I'll sit out. I don't have to. I love the fact that players, because they don't control their own destiny, as we well know.
Right.
So I just think that players making their voices known and heard, I love that because at the end of the day, you got general managers and owners, depending on what organization you're with, they'll trade you away in a heartbeat. Markelle Fultz. It's not his fault what happened to him, but everybody looks at him as though he's a bust, and who knows, that kid may have really went through something dramatic.
Right.
I want players to be a little bit more in control. Like, your fate is sealed if you're in a contract. So if somebody decides to trade you, because we see it all the time, they call players pieces. So everybody's trying to get role players and pieces to make. Well, is that player bad?
Right.
Did that player want to leave? The answer is probably no. They like, I have a family here. I got my house. I got this, is that, and third. And you just trade me. I have no say-so in it,
right,
but I just got to go along with it. I think we've seen that way, way, way too much. And that's why owners are hitting players like LeBron James for collusion and stuff like that, saying that, hey, you can't talk to him about where you want to go.
Right.
Why not? Y'all talking amongst each other.
Right.
You know, they talking amongst each other saying, well, hey, you didn't hear this from me, but we'll use Anthony Davis going to be on a trading block or something. Yeah, he a free agent next year, but I mean, you get him for a year.
Right.
Why can't a player have that conversation with a player?
Well, dude, are you saying in terms of when they're getting drafted?
I'm saying both. If it were true and Zion, and I'm saying Zion because this is arguably the biggest one that's came out in recent years.
Right.
If a Zion said he didn't want to go play for New York Knicks, if I'm the New York Knicks, and this is just me being reasonable, I'm not sweating. You don't want to play for me? Cool.
We're gonna be good. We're gonna be fine without you.
No, I'm leveraging it now. Now I'm gonna leverage a deal. So either I'm gonna trade you and then I'm gonna get you and then trade you, or I'm gonna trade my pick and get more than what I need if you think this is that type of player.
Yeah,
in both respects, I think it works out to okay, you don't want to play? Cool. Who want him? I want everything you got.
And on top of that, like you had said, getting the trading pieces for whoever get them in the next class of high school, it's gonna be somebody that's gonna catch the attention. I want 5 first round draft picks if I get them.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I think that it's gonna come a time, and I don't know. I know it's a lot more semantics to what a GM has to do. But if I were to hear that a player doesn't want to play for me,
I'm trading to the worst.
I don't want to trade him to the worst team. I want maximum value back. So that may not even come in picks. That may just be like, okay, if I'm talking to a team and they think he's worth this much, then I'm getting everything I can from you.
Right.
So you can say you don't want to play for me.
Both gonna be losing.
Not even that. Yeah, exactly. You think he? I want full players from him. You know, something like that.
And some draft.
Yeah, so if he don't want to play for me, I just think that, you know, somebody shouldn't get so bent out of shape. Just leverage the deal. But you come from the school of thought of you think you emotion.
Right.
And I come from the school of thought of I'd rather use my head to get the best that I need out of the situation. So that's why I come from the school of thought of when I think about, you know, situations that happen.
Yeah, and I remember it was a NBA player that said it, that I forgot which player or whoever said they wanted to get traded. Then that dude came out and said, look, if you want to get traded, that's fine. We'll trade you. But we're not going to trade you to the team that you want to get traded to. We're going to trade you to the bottom of the barrel team.
Yeah, but
that comes my emotion.
But that's what I'm saying. If a player says that and then the GM comes back and say, well, we're gonna trade you to the bottom of the barrel, do you get great value back from trading from the bottom of the barrel?
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying? I wouldn't even make that. At the end of the day, everybody says it's a business. So this is a saying from my business attorney. It's nothing personal. It's just business. So if you come to me and I'm the GM and you say you want to get traded, I'm not taking that personal. I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to be like, we're going to do our best to trade you. And behind the scenes, right, this is a perfect example. You were upset because it seemed like he wanted to go to Dallas and they traded on Dallas. But look what they got back in return.
Of course. I was at that time.
That's what I'm saying. But look what they got back, though.
Right. They did get some good things back for him.
And nobody knows what Porzingis is going to be because he's still hurt.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's what I was saying. That's why New York looked like, I told you, it seemed as though they came out on a better end. It's just like another New York team, New York Giants. They, I guess, thought that Odell Beckham would be a problem for the going future. So what do? They trade him. Everybody's like, oh, I can't believe they traded Odell. It's not guaranteed that the Browns going to be a better team. It appears, but they hadn't stepped foot on the football field yet. But like I told you and I told, you know, our friends too, New York got rid of a problem they need to get rid of for the future. So they don't have, in their words, not mine, a diva that's at wide receiver.
Y'all can have it. Y'all deal with their problem.
Y'all go deal with their problem. Now, for the future, we know we need to get a quarterback for the future. And we can go get a wide receiver and whoever the quarterback is, we have Tom Brady as an example. You can have no name people that can come in and out of nowhere, they become stars.
Right.
So New York teams are doing what they need to do right now, it seems like.
That's true. And again, to this point of leveraging deals, and we spoke about this, Russell Wilson, the deadline for Seattle to give him his contract is April 15th.
Ain't tech time, is it?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
No, that's tech time.
But that goes back to the point of players now more than ever. I have to salute the players for doing it, for trying to make their own destiny, trying to get as much money as they can, leveraging their deals, Russell Wilson giving the Seahawks a deadline. I like seeing that. What Seattle will do, we'll see. We'll see. Either he'll be the highest paid quarterback or still the second highest paid quarterback in the league.
Well, he deserves money in Seattle. If they see the value, they'll, you know, do something for him. But Seattle got more problems than just quarterback right now. Yeah.
And if you get all your money to the quarterback, how else you going to pay everybody else?
So I'm with him for asking for that, demanding that.
Salute.
It's beautiful.
Salute.
And
salute to all of
them. And for Seattle, if they make it happen, cool. If they don't, cool too, because I understand.
So yeah, salute to all the players that's doing that, that's making their own destiny.
So last thing I want to say before we getting the plugging in everything that we want you guys to follow us on and hit us up on, Russell Westbrook. In light of the Nipsey Hussle death, his dear friend, he went, was it Tuesday or Wednesday's game?
Tuesday's
game, I think so too. He went and got a triple-double, 20-20-20, equaling up to 60, part of the Rolling 60s game that Nipsey was a part of, which is just significant because this man...
I like what you did there. This man...
Within the first, I think they said 10 minutes, had like 13, 8, right. And something else. Right. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's out of this world.
That's ridiculous. And like we were talking about when we were in that heated debate, Russell Westbrook is amazing. This is the third season he's averaged a triple-double.
First in ever NBA history.
First. Like, he was the first to do it after Oscar Robertson.
Right.
Then he did it last year for the second time, the first person to do that. Now, this is the third season. Just take note of that. Yeah. I understand that James Harden is doing his due diligence and he's phenomenal. The Greek Freak is another person for NBA MVP. But this man averaging a triple-double for the third season, we have never seen. And we probably will never see it again. It might be somebody who does it once or twice, 3 years. And again, he's still young. So he probably might do this again next year.
In his prime.
He's still in his prime. So I just want to give a big shout out to him. I love the passion that man plays with.
I do too.
I hope to see good things from him in the playoffs. And let's get into what we need to plug in for some things. So Instagram, Twitter, it is at BL Sports Talk 51 for both Instagram and Twitter.
Right.
At BL Sports Talk 51. Try to get this out tonight.
Tonight.
I'm going to try to get out tonight so it's fresh for tonight / tomorrow. Want to thank everybody. We're trying to do a few different things. We in the laboratory every time. We on the phone constantly. We're trying to get this going in the right direction where we like it and we love what's going on. This is episode 6.
Right.
The game has changed, ? You got anything you want to say to people?
Thank y'all to all the listeners out there. Thank always be positive, no matter how hard it gets. Just know that you got the good Lord on your side. So just keep praying, keep being positive. Definitely keep listening to us. You make us, and we're just happy to provide y'all with MVCs, most valuable content. You heard?
You heard it there first.
Let's go, man.
So, again, thank y'all. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, BL Sports Talk 51. Email us at... It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. But yeah, well, let's just start with that. I got the email address is tagged on Instagram. Just follow us and listen to us. And we're gonna do a better job of promoting it out there and being active on social media.
Right.
Again, we want to thank y'all. Give us feedback. By episode 10, I'm telling y'all, we're going to be on with something. I think we are right now. But episode 10, we getting in our bag. We're in our bag.
R.P. to Nipsey.
R.P. to Nipsey. You will be loved and Miss King. You've inspired two kings right here for sure.
For sure.
We want to promote positivity.
All the time.
We love sports. We love culture. We love interacting with people.
Right, we love the debate, man.
And we love the debate. We love to just have our voices heard. That's the main reason why we did this. Other than that, peace.
Love.
Y'all be easy.
Happiness.
And y'all keep listening to us, man. We appreciate it.
Check me out. New Nipsey Hussle.